going to give you a little quick Bible study. I'm going to show you a little truth here in the Bible about the Bible and about the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus, you know, came into the world as a baby in the manger. And I want you to look at verse number, verse 10. John chapter 1, verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. That's the Jewish people. They turned him down. But as many as received him, that's all of us that got saved, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Verse 14, look at it. And the Word, capital W, was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus Christ, called the Word, W. Look up there in verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word, capital W, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. Now, that, my friends, is a tremendous, tremendous truth. That's a tremendous thing. The Word made flesh. Why does the Bible call Jesus a Word? That's a strange thing to call God's Son, a Word. What is a Word? I just said one. Bunch. That was another one. Word. That's a Word. Word is a Word. You want me to say another one? Hello. That's a Word. It called God's Son William. Now, what I want to do tonight is show you that the Christian is shown two things. The written Word and the living Word. So, the Bible is the written Word. Jesus Christ is the living Word. And the Bible said they're both the same. So what you've got here is Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus, right laying in your lap. We believe tonight that we have a preserved Word of God in the King James Bible. If the King James Bible is not the Word of God, then there is no book on the earth that is the Word of God. Because they all claim to have mistakes in them. I don't believe the Bible has any mistakes in it. I was preaching down in South Carolina, and I said something about the NIV, which just about all preachers and churches use nowadays, unless you're an old redneck, independent, Bible-believing Baptist. Some other churches do too, but mostly Baptist churches and stuff like that. And these girls were from college up the road. And they told me, they said, "Now, Brother Dan, there's some college girls coming to hear you tonight, and I don't know what they're going to think about you." And I noticed when I got up there, they went, like, "Where in the world this guy come from?" And I said, "The King James Bible said this, and it leaves the virgin birth in Luke 2:33, the NIV." And boy, they started just flipping pages, flipping pages, flipping pages, flipping pages. And I thought, uh-oh, I done hit the nerve there. And I said, "It said that Jesus it wasn't the Son of God in Daniel 3:25. Your King James Version says, the form of the fourth is like the Son of God in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The NIV says, a son of the gods. Many sons, many gods. Little s. And boy, them girls are just flipping, flipping. And when I got through, they crowded around me and they said, "We didn't know this. We spent $100 on this Bible. We just bought them for school. Now what are we going to do with them?" I said, "I don't know what you're going to do with them." And they said, "We didn't even know that. We're going to show our professor first thing in the morning that it don't have." And I said, "Oh my goodness." I said, "Now, you better take it easy there now." And they said, "We go back to school in the morning. We're showing." And I said, "Good. Somebody needs to show him." But you know what he'll say? In the Greek, it says. In the Greek. But I'm going to tell you something, people. If the Greek is the Word of God, we better all start learning Greek. Amen? If we have the Word of God in English, we don't need Greek. You hear all the preachers on the radio, they say, "Now the Greek word here would be the Greek word there." We don't need Greek if the English is the Word of God. If the Greek's the Word of God, we better learn Greek. I'm going to learn it, much as I hate study, and I'm going to make all y'all get you a Greek Bible and we'll learn Greek. But it ain't. We believe that the English Bible is the Word of God. We believe it. We believe it's preserved. Now, what I want to do tonight is show you the comparison between the written Word and the living Word. If you don't know much about the Bible, you don't know much about Jesus. How much you know about the Bible tells how much you know about Jesus. hear people say, well, I love Jesus. And don't ever read their Bible. If you don't love your Bible, you don't love Jesus. He's the living word. This is the written word. This is the closest thing on earth you can get to Jesus Christ, is your Bible. Your Bible. Next Sunday now, we're going to challenge everybody to read it through in 07. So you got a whole week to psych yourself up and say, I asked Carrie the other day, Manara, I said, did you read your Bible through the year? She looked down at her belly and looked down and she said, I didn't make it this year, Daddy. I said, that's no excuse. Big belly and a youngin' ain't no excuse not to read your Bible. That's a little bit of one, but you should have had it read. Amen. So I hope that you'll make up your mind now. You got a whole week to psych yourself up and say, I'm going to read the whole thing in the year 2007. All right? Let's do this. Let's look at this now tonight. Now I want to say this. Jesus Christ has two natures, human and divine. The Bible, don't talk, boys. The Bible clearly shows that. The Bible clearly shows that Jesus Christ has two natures, human and divine. He was man and he was God. Jesus was not half man and half God. People say, well, he's half man, half... No, he wasn't. He was all man and all God. We can't understand that. That's a mystery. That's the incarnation. God manifest in flesh. Isn't that something tonight? What a blessing. That's one of the great doctrines of the Christian church. You know what? These people on TV that's blast Christmas, they don't even think you should say Christmas. Now they're saying that we shouldn't say Christmas. Carrie told me they come out with a movie called The Nativity. Have any of y'all heard about that? And a lot of movie theaters will not show that film because they're afraid some non-Christians will be offended. Why don't they do like they tell us? Just don't watch it. You know, when we complain about R-rated movies and X-rated movies, you know what they say? Well, don't watch if you don't want to. But yet when a movie comes like that, they say, don't show it, it offends us. Don't that show you that there's a spirit working against the Bible and the Lord and the church? There's a spirit actively working. They tell us, well, if you don't want to watch dirty movies, don't. It's free country. But when a movie like that comes up, they say they shouldn't show it. It offends us. What hypocrisy. What double standards. Yeah. Brother, listen. Jesus has two natures. He was God. He was man. He was all God. He was all man. You've got to believe he was God. You got to believe he was sinless. He had God's blood running through his body. It wasn't Joseph's blood. That's why if you got an NIV, in the NIV in Luke 2:33, it says his father and mother. Find it in your Bible there, Andy, while you're looking at Luke 2:33. Luke 2:33. The NIV says his father and mother marveled at him. Talking about Joseph. Here's what King James say. Read it real loud. 2:33. That's right. Notice the difference now. Joseph and his mother. The NIV said his father and mother. Why does the King James say Joseph and his mother? Because Joseph wasn't his father. You better watch that stuff. He'll slip it in on you while you ain't paying attention. He'll say, you know, well, Billy Graham reads it and he's great. And he is. I have nothing against Billy Graham. He's a 10,000 times greater man than I am. But great men are not always wise. And your Bible said, the Bible said his father and mother? No. It said Joseph and his mother. Now, let's think about this. Turn in your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 3, and let's look at it here. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm not going to talk long, so everybody look at it. About 10 more minutes, and we're going to be done. 1 Timothy chapter 3, it said, God was manifest in flesh. That's the strongest verse in the New Testament about the incarnation of Jesus being God in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. Every other version of the Bible changes that verse. I know we get accused of being troublemakers, and they say, oh, you people just, even a King James, you just causing trouble and divisions. You tell me, should that verse be changed? No, sir. The modern verses say, he who is manifest in the flesh, or he who was manifest, or who he was manifest in the flesh. Your King James says, God was manifest in flesh. Amen? Clear, plain. God was manifest in the flesh. You see, as a man, he thirsted. But as God, he gave him living water. As a man, he went to a wedding. But as God, he turned the water into wine when he got there. As a man, he slept in a boat. But as God, He woke up and calmed the storm. Hallelujah. As man, he was tempted. But as God, he didn't give in and never sinned one time. He was God and man at the same time. He was enough man to weep at Lazarus' grave, but he's enough God to say, Lazarus, get up and come forth. Amen. I'm telling you, that'll make me want to preach. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. He is enough a man to cry at Lazarus' grave, but he's enough God to say, Lazarus, come forth. Amen. He was enough man to pray, Father, not my will be done, but he is enough God to make intercessions for us in our prayers. He has two natures, human and divine. Now, let me show you something. The Bible has two natures, human and divine. You ever heard people say, oh, man wrote the Bible? True. But God had a hold of the head and the heart and the hand of man, and therefore we say God wrote the Bible. He used human instruments to do it. You ever heard anybody say, oh, man wrote the Bible? They did, but God dictated it. Their hands wrote it, but God dictated it. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Man, oh, Isaiah got over there one time, and he started writing over there, and it said, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God. He said, whoa, whoa, whoa. What's got a hold of my hand here, man? Prince, I can't even believe what I'm writing. He didn't even know what he's saying. Amen? Hallelujah. But thank God he did it, brother. It has a human nature. The Bible has a divine nature. The Bible has a human nature. The Bible has a divine nature. There's no book in the world like the Bible. I was over in Asheville the other day when I had to go to all them doctors. And heard this guy, and he was talking to these little kids. Little boy, he must have been like a social worker or something. I don't know who he was. And he's talking to these little kids about that high. And he kept telling them, he said, now books are the greatest thing there is. Kids, you need to learn to read good books. Have you ever read? And he talked about this story and that story and Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn and all that stuff. You know, and I guess there ain't nothing wrong with them. But he never did say nothing about the books, the greatest book in the whole world. Never did, man. He talked and talked and talked. He said, now when there's a movie comes out, always read the book first before you watch the movie. So your imagination can imagine things. And you'll imagine things that the movie don't even have in it. And I guess that's okay. But he never talked about the book that's divine. This is the only divine book, part human, part divine, in the whole world. You say, well, that means it's part error? No. Just like Jesus, part human and part, or all human and all God, they're all human and all God. They don't have no mistakes in it. None. It's been took to court a bunch of times. Nobody has ever proved an error in the Bible. If you meet somebody that says the Bible's got mistakes in it, all you have to do is hand to them and say, show me one. They'll shut up just like that. They'll shut up. They can't show you a mistake in the Bible. Amen? All right, let me tell you another one. Jesus Christ was and is perfect. He did no sin, according to 1 Peter 2:22. He was perfect. He's the name above every name. The Bible is also perfect. The written word is perfect. Never been approved error. It's a final authority. It's the most influential book of all time. Amen? One time I preached about something, another version of the Bible or something like that, and this guy come up and he said, now listen, I know somebody got saved, and I don't doubt that. I think you can read a certain verse, but that don't prove it's a Bible. You can get saved reading a tract. I mean, it's a Bible. It don't mean it's perfect. All right? Another thing, Jesus is eternal. He never had a beginning. He never had an ending. He's forever and ever and ever. He told them Pharisees, he said, before Abraham was, I am. And they said, you mean before Abraham was, you was? No, before Abraham was, I am. I am back there. I am up there. I am now. I am. I ain't was or ain't will be. I am. He's always present tense. That blew their mind, brother. I'm telling you what. You say, well, I know a guy that got saved reading the Catholic Bible. You can find a diamond in a trash can. That don't make it a jewelry store. That's right. Yeah, listen, brother, I'm telling you tonight, I'm telling you, you better listen to me. I've studied this stuff for all these years. I know what this book said. There's never been. God has blessed this book like no other book in the world. Jesus said, by their fruit ye shall know them. And this King James Bible has produced every great revival that's ever been in the United States. There's never. Listen, this thing come out in 1611, and right about the time the pilgrims getting ready to come over, getting established here in this country, that was God ordained the pages of this book. Well, it's the written word is eternal. In the beginning, forever settled in heaven, all that. Let me tell you another one. Jesus is hated by some and loved by others. They hate him enough to crucify him. They love him enough to die for him. Jesus is hated by some and loved by others. Some of them said, crucify him, crucify him. And others said, I'll lay down my life for him. He's hated by some and loved by others. Do you know the Bible's the same way? It's hated by some and loved by others. Do you know there are people that absolutely despise the Bible? Did you know that an insurance man can take his book in to the steakhouse and nobody will give him a second look? I've seen them. A lawyer takes his book in, steakhouse, goes right down through there, nobody. Walk in there with a Bible. Just watch the reaction you'll get. It shows how much different it is than any other book. If y'all ain't chicken, take your Bible to work. If you're not too chicken now, take your Bible to work. You shouldn't be too chicken. I mean, you don't care if nobody knows. Greatest book in the world and you're ashamed of it? Lord help, man, what's wrong with you? Jesus is hated by some and loved by others. I know a guy. I didn't know this guy, but they told me about him. A bunch of guys went to preach at a flea market. He was going to meet them there one Sunday and Saturday and give out tracts and preach at the flea market. And he was going to meet them over on the other side. And he put his Bible in a brown bag and walked across the flea market with it. Brown bag in his Bible, man. So nobody couldn't see it. And then when he got over there to the Christians, he pulled it out with him. He was scared to death to let somebody see him walk. You wouldn't be scared to walk across with a Sears catalog. You wouldn't be afraid to walk across there with anything else. If you had a book on math or English or history, there's something about this book right here. People scared of this thing. It'll bite you. I'm telling you, there ain't no other book in the world like that. No book has the power of this book right here. No book. Did y'all hear about that guy who was a Muslim and got voted in some off the other day, and he would not put his hand on the Bible? Listen, I say, look, buddy, this is America, and this is the way we do it. If you don't want to do it, go back to wherever you come from. Amen? Amen. I'm telling you, brother, this is America. The Bible is what we swear in our elected officials on. If you don't like it, too bad. That's some book there, buddy. It's hated by some, loved by others. Not only that, Jesus Christ saves you and gives you the new birth. You say, no, you ain't going to say the Bible does that. It sure does. The written word saves you and gives you the new birth. 1 Peter 1:23 said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. You're born again by the word of God. And all of that, and the last thing is, Jesus is a living Savior and ever liveth to make intercession for us. And the word of God's alive. This thing is alive. The Bible said in Hebrews 4:12, it's quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It thing is quick. All right? Does anybody have a question on what I've talked about tonight? When Jesus come in Bethlehem's manger, he was the Word made flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. How about it? Question right quick. Wanting to go eat that cake, ain't you? Go ahead. Did anybody see Joel Osteen on Larry King? He had one or one. I saw a little bit of it. He did pretty good this time. He really did. I think last time he cut him some slack and people took a fit. He took a pretty good stand. Larry King asked Joel Osteen. He has the largest church in America right now. And he said, do you believe Jesus is the only way to heaven? And he said, yeah. I said, atta boy. That's a right answer. And that, listen, you don't, that took a little guts to say that on national TV. Millions of people hate that. They hate that. Man, they're ready to kill him for believing that Jesus is the only way to heaven. How could you say, but Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. Jesus Christ was either who he said he was, or he's the biggest imposter that's ever been on planet Earth. One of the two. You decide which one. If you believe he's who he said he was, you wouldn't be at church on Christmas Eve. Anybody else got a question on this? Or a comment? Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's true. Yep, sure. I preached that before. I'll tell you where you get that right quick. We normally think it was the shepherd and the wise men, everybody right there the very same night he was born. But actually, when the wise men came, they inquired of Herod, and Herod wanted to kill him, right? And it said they followed the star, and it says two or three things. First of all, it says they came to the house and not the manger. And then it said they came to where the young child was, not the babe. And then it said Herod tried to kill everybody under 2 years old. He'd just been born that night. He was probably a year old by the time the wise men got there. That's what she's talking about. How many of y'all have never heard that before? Raise your hand. Okay. I preached it right here in this church. That one got by. But now, it's hard to prove. It's hard to prove, but that's where they get that. They get that by saying that the wise men followed the star, and it came over there, and it came over the house where the young child was. And it says, babe, 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 everywhere else. It also says Herod tried to kill them babies. Probably, if Herod had thought he'd just been born that night, he probably wouldn't have said 2 years and under. He'd have said just all, 6 months and under something. All at the same time? Yeah. Yeah. Right. 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 That's true. Oh, I see. I see. Well, it's hard to prove, but that's the way most Bible, real good Bible teachers that I know.